picking on me. I haven't even started yet. That's good. Here we go. We're going to start with, we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 5 tonight. Not the whole thing, just part of it. We're going to go all the way down to verse 21 and finish out at 23. Or 33, rather. 21 to 33. We talked quite a bit this morning about some of the topics tonight. I expanded quite a bit on one-mindedness, on like-mindedness, on sameness of character. But I'm going to break down a little bit more tonight. And it's a topic that is oftentimes avoided. It's a topic that's oftentimes shied away from, but I think it's very, very important. I have some pretty strong opinions about it, so if you disagree with me, don't hesitate to stand up and go, I think you're crazy. That's okay. I'm all right with that. Just be prepared to defend it. Okay.
What chapter?
Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 21. We're going to go 21 to 33. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at 21. And Paul writes, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by washing with water through the word, presenting her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, holy and blameless. In this way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies, for he who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds it and cares for it, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body, and for this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother, and he will unite with his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a profound ministry, for I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself, and his wife must respect her husband. He begins then with the topic, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Be of one mind, to submit to one another. Discuss it. If you have a difference, you figure it out. You don't try to push your agenda, as it were. Submit to one another. Be ready to help. Be ready to care for, submitting to one another. This is not slavery. This is readiness and caring. Okay? He says, the whole church, this is how it is. Now this is the part, he says, because each has their own talent and each should use to build up as an entirety. He says, now let me tell you, because I really love this portion of the letters, because Paul is really writing the same way that I think. Because Paul takes a topic and he says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ and the whole church, and this is how I'm speaking, is about the church. He takes something that's familiar to everyone. And he says, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. What's he saying? He said, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. He's not saying, wives, be a slave, barefoot, pregnant in the kitchen, just say yes. He said, as to the Lord. We be respectful. We work it out. We're in this together. He said, but you're not expected to be the leader, large, and in charge. Okay? Why submit? Because you are a helper, and that's your whole mission. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. And then he explains what he means by that. Because I've heard this over and over and over again, which says, I'm the head. You shall do as I say. That's not what he said. He said, wives, submit your husband as the Lord, and as the church, and as Christ is the husband of the church, what did he do? He sacrificed for the church. He gave his life for the church. He cleanses the church. That's our responsibility, guys. As husbands, we are supposed to be certain things. We're supposed to be in charge, but this is how we do it. As the head, we are the protector. Jesus said, a strong man cannot enter a house, or a thief cannot enter the house where the strong man is aware. What's the husband supposed to be? The husband's supposed to be the strong man. He's a protector. It's not just the house. But he spoke in ways, he wrote in ways that made sense to people. Makes sense to me. Because I think simply. How can a thief enter my house if I'm aware? Now, maybe I'm not awake 24 hours a day, so how am I aware? I do things to make sure that that person that doesn't belong in my house does not enter my house. I've got the security gate. I've got the bar with bolt locks. I've got the alarms. I've got all of these things. Right? If I'm aware and I'm on guard, you can't enter. That's my relationship with my wife also. I should be aware and on guard to protect. That's one of my roles. And she's to submit to that. Allow me to do that. Okay? So that's number one. Number two, what else am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to be logical. Not always. Because, and I know that some will agree, and it's okay to shake your head and go, I don't think so. Okay? The female mind, I'm a psychology major, I want you to be aware of that before I even start. The female mind is emotional. It is. The male mind is logical. It is. Does that mean that we're not a little of both? No. But we're supposed to be thinking logically. Yeah, there's some emotion that's involved in that. The lady is supposed to be thinking emotionally. Yeah, there's some logic involved in that. But that's how we are. And so that's together, we work well together because that's our mission. Our mission is to look at the logic, to look at the protection of what's going on. Guys, we have all the chips, okay? We've got a big bowl of chips. Poker chips, not potato chips. We had all the potato chips. The rest of my statement would never work if they were potato chips. Each one of these chips is something that I need to give as the husband to my wife so that she can take care of her mission. She needs to have funds in order to take care of the house. So I give her a chip. There's your money. It's my responsibility to do that. She needs to have protection. So I give her that chip. That's protection. That's what I do. That's my responsibility. I give her that protection. And it's on my, and little by little, I give up my chips to her if she becomes responsible for certain things. In order for this to work, she had to submit to allow me to do that. That's what it means. It means she's simply going to allow me, she's going to open that door, and she's going to allow me to do what I'm supposed to do. It doesn't mean that I get to tell her, woman, wash. No. Allow me to do what I'm supposed to do. Allow me to make some decisions. Allow me to choose. And I'm going to pick on the guys, too, because believe me, maybe I'm already picking on the guys, because I'm picking on me pretty good. Anyway. He says, now, as wives submit to your husbands as you submit to the church, okay, but husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up, washing and cleansing in the word. There's a lot of stuff there. Now, how do I do that? How do I give my wife the leeway that she needs to do? Because she has a mission too. Okay? And towards the end, I'm going to show you something that may surprise you. I heard it for the very first time. A lot of the information, I went to a seminar a long time ago. I say a long time ago because I don't remember how many years ago it was. Called the husband's role in the marriage. And I learned a lot of things. And there was one day I said the wife's role in the marriage. I learned a lot of things. But you know what? She has some things that she has to be able to do. And now, we love our wives and we want to take care of them. We want to feed them and clothe them and help them do their thing. But what is their mission? What are the things that I need to give up to help her do that? Okay? She has certain areas that she has to be in charge of. This might confuse us a little bit. The house. Her thing is to create beauty, comfort, and warmth in the home. Guess what? I learned, and it worked quite well for me over the years, I learned that's not my responsibility, nor is it my opinion. When she says, I need money because I want to buy purple curtains, I go, there's the money. Now, I get to make an opinion when I show up at home with the yellow wall and the purple curtains and say, really? But I don't get to make that. That's her area. We can discuss it. That's hers. No opinion. Not allowed to do that. Raising the children. Guess who gets stuck with that? I was at sea when my son was born. I was in the North Atlantic. Seasick as a dog. We were in a stage in the state before a hurricane on a cruiser. Anyway. Raising the children. She knows what needs to be done. I just need to step in when she tells me to. She has responsibilities. I have to give her that tip and say, take care of the kids. What do you need from me? Helping others. Creating beauty. We don't get an opinion on that one either. Okay. The phrase, the house is a man's castle is not true. It's a woman's castle. She just lets us live there. But this is how we submit together. This is how we take care of each other. This is how the church works. He says, without stain or wrinkle, because nobody ever hated his own body, but he does with the church. Now, does this mean, as I've given you all of these things, and I said, wife, you've got all these roles to take care of at home. And I've heard it said, if a woman works outside of the home, she has a job, she's an accountant, she's a lawyer, she's a this, she's a whatever, okay, that it's wrong. Cannot possibly, that marriage will fail that quick. Okay? And I bring that up because I was told that by one of the senior Bible professors at LCC. Because guess what? My wife, Pam, who was my fiance at the time, had a checkbook. She had her own bank account. Oh, no. Before you guys get married, she's going to lose that. That's got to become yours. You have to control that 100% or that marriage will fail. And we were told that. We were told that in the engaged couples encounter seminar that we went to. We went to it just because we wanted to. It was fun. We didn't learn a whole lot of things, but we played with the pencils on the bit. But if that's the case, then how come Solomon in all of his wisdom writes this? And I love reading this, especially when I'm doing services in my job. He says, a wife of noble character, who can one find? She's worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good and never harm all the days of her life. She selects the wool and the flax and she works with eager hands. She's like the merchant ships bringing food from afar. She gets up when it's still dark and provides food for her family and portions for the servant girls. She considers and buys a field. Out of the earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about working vigorously. Her arms are strong for the task. She sees to the trading that it's profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for they are clothed in scarlet. She makes covering for their beds. She's clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is of great respect at the city gate, where he sits among the elders of the land. She makes fine linen and sells it, and supplies the merchants with sashes. She's clothed with strength and dignity. She laughs all the days to come, and speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. That's what Solomon said, is a strong woman. He said, that's a strong wife. Turn and say, you got to stay home. You got to be quiet and be hidden. I'm restricting her from the greatest gift that she can possibly give me in that relationship. She's a strong supporter. I have to give her that. I have to give her the protection, the ability to do that. That's my job. We submit to each other, submitting to one another out of reverence for the Lord, and that's the way it is. Be strong. Be ready to give up your chips. Now, I say all of these things, and Paul says, now I want you to understand that this relationship that he's talking about is not just about husbands and wives. He says, but I'm talking about the relationship in the church. But he wants to bring it into a topic that is understood. That's why I love the way he writes, because that's the way I think. Okay? Now, I say in full capital letters, does this mean, all of that, does this mean that you have to be married to be a successful Christian? Yeah, I told you I was going to take a twist right in the middle, and I was going to get some hits. Does this mean that you have to be married to be a successful Christian? Does this mean that you have to be a wife to understand the role, your role in the church? Does this mean you have to be a successful husband? I say successful husband to understand your role in the church. My answer is flamingly no. Absolutely not. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul is writing out of logical opinion. But we trust, and Paul trusts, that what he writes is true, and the Lord will back him up on it. Now about virgins, I have no command from the Lord. Because there is nothing. He says, but I give judgment as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. Because of the present crisis, I think it's good for you to remain as you are. The present crisis being the world. We're still here. It hasn't been destroyed yet. The second coming hasn't happened. There's more and more strife. There's more and more enmity. There's more and more causes for doubt, for the church to actually close its doors. And in Corinth, as we're well aware, it was really hard. You could, honestly, you could starve to death if you didn't submit to the council of tradesmen who were idolaters. You couldn't do business. So it was a horrible situation for them. But, he says, I would say that it's better for you to remain as you are. Are you married? Do not seek divorce. Are you unmarried? Do not look for a wife. If you do marry, you've not sinned. If a virgin marries, she's not sinned. But those who marry will face many troubles in this life, which I want to spare you from. He says, what I mean, brothers, is that time is short. From now on, those who have wives should live as they have none, and those who mourn as they do not, those who are happy as they are not, those who buy something as if it is not theirs to keep, those who use things of the world as if they are engrossed in them, and for this world in the present form is passing away. All of those things, he's simply saying, you need to focus. You need to drive in one direction, because he says further on exactly what he's looking at there. If the person is married, okay? I would like you to be free from all concerns. He says, an unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how to please the Lord. That's it. That's his whole focus. Okay? He says, but a married man is concerned about the affairs of the world, how to please his wife. That's why Paul says, it's better for you not to be married. It's better for you not to be married. Because you now, as we've been looking at all through for the last few verses here in Ephesians, what is my purpose? My purpose is to make sure that I give my wife the chip she needs to take care of her responsibility so she's happy. And I have other things that I have to do to make sure that I take care of her. And Paul says, it's better if you weren't married, because then if you weren't married, all you have to think about is God. You don't have all these other things to deal with. But the relationship that he's talking about is within the church. He says, if you're married, you'll understand more of what I'm talking about. If you're unmarried, that's good. He's not saying you have to be married to succeed at all. The unmarried are not second-class citizens. The unmarried are lucky. Because they only have one focus point. But if you're married, you have help. There's this big circle in this whole thing that I look at and I say, okay, grasp. What do I need to do? I need to understand that the relationship between husband and wife, as stipulated, as understood, is the same as the relationship between you and me in the church. My concern is to ensure that I do what I can to protect you in your role, while at the same time gleaning from you sources to do my role, so that together we're doing the work of God. Is just in that little bitty thing in that relationship. Together, we're going to do the work of the family. That's how it works. But not to say or restrict anyone, but to show focus, and that's where it is. So, hopefully, I haven't confused you, because to me, it's so easy to understand that we have a focus. We as the church have our focus, that we're concerned with pleasing God. As a couple, we have the focus of pleasing each other and God. So act as if you're not. That doesn't mean run around and have a wonderful time. But it's focusing in the brain. Act as if you had your only focus is pleasing God. Anything else falls in place. So what's our role, guys? Be the strong man to protect. We have to leave everything and join to her, because our role is focusing on her. To act as the head. It's simple. I learned how to do this. It was very, very difficult. And the reason why I'm even presenting this tonight is that it came up again with me when I was making an arrangement recently. And this lady says, I was so confused, you never told me anything. It's simple. Make a decision. When she says peas or corn, pick one. It's not that hard. I learned that. When she says red or blue, pick one. If it's wrong, whose fault is it? It's going to be yours anyway. Take it. Pick one. Okay? But you have to earn that respect. You have to earn that place at the head of the table. You don't get it just because. To stand up and say, I'm the man, will just get you laughed at. Pick one. Be the decision maker. Develop obedience. How do you do that? Obey. Show what obedience looks like. Don't say obey me or else, because you don't know what that means to you. Show what that means. Show what that means. And then in all of that, glorify your wife. Give her all of the support. Give her everything that she needs. do that job because she desperately wants to do it. And remember that our whole focus is, what do I do to please God? And that's the only reason he writes all that stuff there. It's not to show you what slavery looks like. Don't be afraid of it. Grasp it. Jump on top of it and go, I get it. I get it. I'm going to conclude with that thought right there. Focus on God. And go with God. We're going to sing a closing song right now. If you have a